Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Atlanta, what's going on, man? We are OTP. It is Dukes and Bell with Chris in for the ailing Carl Dukes. We are live from Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram Bagwell Parkway. Hanging out, man, with you 2 to 7, and we got some fun. We start every hour, every show with a big hearty.
Hey, man.
Carl's voice, it's weak. Remember the scene in Godfather as Johnny Fontaine comes to the Godfather? My voice, it's weak, Godfather, it's weak. So Carl Hillfield will be back tomorrow. We didn't want to push it. So Carl will be back in the mix. Last night we were at State Farm Arena, and the Hawks did not disappoint. We'll get into some Hawks conversation. We got a busy show for you. Chris booked the big show today. Our buddy Drew Butler is going to join us today. And it was there's never a slow day on Dukes and Bill, as you know.
That's correct.
But today, all of a sudden, things were, it wasn't exactly the biggest news cycle. We know the Falcons are still looking at possible defensive coordinators, guys you're interviewing that we may be interested in. But we will talk to Joe Patrick about that with the Falcons. We'll get Drew Butler's take on who should be the guy. And then earlier today, some breaking news about the Braves, a phenom from, as Bob Feller would say, the Caribbean.
Yeah.
We'll talk to our man. We'll get a pop-up from Grant McCauley about 2:40 to talk about it.
Yeah. Mike, oh, my goodness. The Hawks injury report just came out.
And?
Wow.
Is this going to make me upset?
Yeah.
We just started the show.
I know.
I just got my Southwest egg rolls, which, by the way, is torture. Because I was just telling our server, it's like, and thanks to Law, he runs the joint. He invited us out here today. We're just ready to sit down and start the show. Music starts playing, and then the egg rolls show up.
Yeah, 158.
Is this going to make me angry?
Yes.
Well, let me get another drink. Go ahead. What do you got?
I had a delicious chicken wrap, by the way. It was very good. As Brad Rowland tweeted out, carnage on the Hawks injury report. Trey Young, right rib, out. Jalen Johnson, right shoulder, out. Hunter, foot, out. Reese Shea, left adductor. I don't even know what that is.
That's over here.
Out. Nance Bufkin Zeller, out.
So next game is going to be the Skyhawks in action.
Yeah, which is tonight, by the way.
And that's what I'm saying.
They are in Chicago.
Ugh. Well, at least you're close to the airport when you're in College Park.
Yeah. Are they calling up Keaton Wallace and company here, the point guard?
We just spent, if you listen to yesterday's show, we were just kind of lamenting that, the West Coast swing was a little ugly because the injury bug cropped up. And Jalen Johnson, I asked Chris a few times, and I asked Steve Holman about it. I go, when are we going to – are they just going to put – I mean, like in baseball, you have the 10, the 21, different types in IR and football. It just seems to me like this Jalen Johnson injury just keeps on keeping on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And Trey got hit last night. I said to Chris at the end of the show, I go, with these injuries, Trey, take all the friggin' shots. And he basically did, and Okongwu helped him out last night.
Yeah, Trey had 43 points. Okongwu with 22 and 21 rebounds. Absolutely amazing, Mike. But here's the thing. How are you supposed to build any momentum
when this happens? I mean, it's the definition of the Hawks. And again, I hope we're not creeping into that, but that one step forward, two steps back stuff. Let's give you some play-by-play from our man, bang, Steve Holman, who once he was done pouring coffee all over Chris's laptop, got in the broadcast booth at State Farm and gave you some highlights as 00 went to town. Take a listen.
Here's V, all the way through to Onyeka, who jams with two hands. Onyeka Okongwu with 20. Nice play by V. 101-97, Atlanta leading.
on his way to career best for Onyeka Okongwu last night. That was amazing. Another putback. Take a listen.
Now it's down to 10 on the 24. Trey tricky dribbles. Trey drives past Durant. Up off the glass. No good. No foul. Onyeka, though, up and in. Onyeka Okongwu scores. 119-111. Hawks lead.
Yeah, man, we said, and I was joking around with Chris, Trey, take all the shots, and he took it to heart. Look, when you're banged up like that, you know, as they were, and you don't have Jalen Johnson, and you're looking for some serious scoring, this is when we said Trey knows the difference from when to facilitate, you know, and when to dominate. And I thought, Chris, it was the perfect blend last night.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. This is the type of game where, as you said, your star, when I'll borrow a phrase from our ailing buddy, Carl Dukes,
right.
It was nut-cutting time for Trey Young
right.
last night, and he absolutely delivered. I think that this really goes to show you more of what we've been talking about, Mike, since the beginning of the season, about how this year it really feels different for Trey. Feels like the buy-in is different. It feels like the energy, the effort level is different for him, especially on both sides of the floor,
right.
Playing a little defense last night as well. But, Mike, I'm just disappointed in what we got just right here to start the show. Because
the injuries.
Mike Conti last week on Andy and Randy, I've mentioned this a couple of times, he made such a good point that this feels like you just said, the one step forward, two steps back, except now it's three losses in a row.
Yeah, man, you're losing your starters, and you're like Trey with a rib injury. That, let's hope, because you know the only thing that helps that is time. You got to just rest. And you know, I was hoping that we'd build some momentum. I'm not saying that Ressler or the cadre of ownership, along with the front office, is looking for any excuses. I would like to think that Landry Fields sees a team which is right now in a kind of a jumbled, not mess, but a group of teams which can go one way or the other right now in
yeah.
the Eastern Conference. The Pistons have taken a huge step in the right direction. The Magic, we should be doing the same. And I would like to think you could do that. Again, you've got to I'm not saying get Capella off the roster just for trade's sake, but it is an expiring contract. And you know, we have a history here. Years ago, they let Al Horford walk with nothing. You know, it was a tough decision that the former general manager couldn't make. I just would love to see us get something for Capella, unless your intentions are you're happy with Capella, you're going to bring him back on a smaller deal moving forward, or do you try to get some more size and try to get some things that are going to help you? Carl's talked about beefing up an upgrade at backcourt. There's been a lot of rumors about Sexton. I don't know if that Sexton thing works because you're kind of getting back to, is Trey going to be in his bag about bringing a talent like Colin Sexton in after what we just went through with DeJounte? Not so sure about that one.
Mm-mm.
That's out there. But more highlights from last night. 41% from three. Trey was on fire. Take a listen.
Trey bouncing it outside with nine. Now he's against Beal. Trey, three-pointer. Bang! That is Trey Young, folks. He has a knack for that kind of thing. It's 117-109, the Hawks lead.
We were just talking about how Gary Bird was hot garbage on that West Coast swing. That's Garrison Matthews, his nickname, Gary Bird. But yeah, white guy. But anyway, he got hot last night. He was 5 of 8 from three-point range. He had 19. Big story we talked about was Onyeka Okongwu with a monster night, 22 points and 21 boards last night. 10 offensive, 11 defensive, and just cleaning the glass last night.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, Mike, the 4-seed Orlando Magic and the 9-seed Atlanta Hawks right now, they're separated by 3 games.
Steve Koonin pointed this out last Friday. Yes, we are technically just sitting at 9, but we're just a few wins away from being 4. So, but again, how do you get there? Well, especially, I don't know how long these injuries are going to go. Crappy timing for the injuries. You're trying to gauge where this team is at, and you're like less than 3 weeks away from the trade deadline.
Well, that's the thing. It's February 9th at 3 p.m., or February 6th at 3 p.m., and you're looking at a situation right now where, as you just said so eloquently, Mike, you're trying to judge which direction this team goes in because you have 3-4 guys that teams would be interested in. If Bogey Bogdanovich can get healthy and play the way that he plays up to the back of his card, you have DeAndre Hunter, who's a borderline all-star coming off the bench. You have a Capella, a bunch of guys that teams could be interested in if that's the direction you want to go. But if you're that close to the 4-seed, why are we selling?
Well, that's just it. I mean, I just think this team, first off, the fans want to see something. This team has shown the ability early in the year to get on a run. The injuries now, again, if they're going to creep up, it is what it is. I don't want to give Ressler an excuse to not double down. I get it. There are all these ridiculous rules with the cap, and it makes everyone go bananas if you're trying to figure out how the NBA works. You think the NFL is Byzantine. Look at the NBA with the different aprons and how you get to this or that. But I want to see some more bodies, man. I want to see some effort. I want to see some action.
Yeah.
We got to get out of this rut. And as you said, we're just a couple of wins away. Al maybe made harder. No Trey, no Jalen. You know, who else? Who else is out tonight in Chicago? Everybody's out.
Yeah, it's Trey, Jalen, Hunter, Risa, Shea, Nance, Bufkin, Zeller, all out.
All right, man. A couple of things also happening here in Atlanta, which, again, I know that we've not been sure what exactly we're trying to be with Atlanta United. I think that our general manager, president, you know, came in here, Garth Lagerwey, Chris, and he wanted to, you know, put his stamp on it, but he didn't want to just come in here, you're all fired. You know, he basically now is putting this pieces in motion. I know the designated player thing has to really click and get the right guys. We'll talk later with Jason Longshore about the Falcons and United, but just a name which gets so many people excited. People like me, if I'm honest, I did not renew my tickets the last few years. It's kind of been I've been hit or miss. I've been to like five or six games last year when we won all those games early in the season, then we didn't win for like 3 months and felt like.
Yeah.
But you want to get me back there? I think I speak for a lot of United fans. Bring me back Miguel Almiron. There's talk now, and again, initially there were conversations about him going to Charlotte, which would have driven some United fans crazy. But we'll talk to, amongst other things, Jason Longshore about that.
Joe Patrick.
What, yeah, damn it, idiot. Oh, there goes the no-hitter. Grant's going to join us later to talk about the huge prospect the Braves have signed, which is supposed to be this Cuban phenom who's just 16. More on that coming up. But getting back to United, we will talk to Joe about it. Miguel Almiron, for the guys who don't follow United, or maybe you're new to Atlanta, you know, 16, you know, his team was being built, and we talked to our, you know, then it was Darren Eel. I said, what is this team going to look like? Well, he goes, we're going to have a mixture of players, and we're going to have some young guys. I have an idea about bringing people up from South America. We're going to try to take some guys who maybe didn't get their opportunity, like Joseph Martinez in Europe. Well, Miguel Almiron was a guy that everybody knew was the one dude that could probably be the big transfer, and he was. Made his way to Newcastle. He's had some coaches don't really know what to do with him. Either way, I think I'd be interested. This isn't like a nostalgia thing. I think they would put fannies in the seats. People would be excited to see Miggy come back. I know I was giving Chris the primer on what it used to be like when Miggy was here.
Yeah, I came just after he left. Here's the thing, Mike Bell, about this squad for Atlanta United. Other than Brad, who's obviously in net,
right?
They need that veteran stabilizing force who knows how to win matches in the middle of the field. And then that's the guy.
And we'll talk to Joe Patrick about it, because it just seems like something that kind of fits a need right now for United. Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. That's P-A-D-L-Y, PadleyBuys.com. Hey, man, we're out in Hiram. If you are a Hiramite or a Paul Dinger, it's time to join the party, pal. We're going to be here until 7 o'clock. We're in the back, Jack. They gave us our whole room all to ourselves, so come on down and join the party. It's Bash Night. Every Monday and Wednesday, it's all the wings you can eat from 5 to 8. So I know they're going to lose money on Jersey Mike, who literally is so skinny when he eats a wing. It's like a python eating a rat. You see the lump go right through his abdomen. So hopefully we're going to put some meat on his bones, take advantage of the wing deal. But if you're up in this neck of the woods or on your way home, come see us up here at Buffalo's Cafe. All right, plenty more to dive into. Talk more about the Hawks. That's terrible news to start the show. Chris, you put me in a bad mood.
Sorry.
I will turn to food. We will also turn to Drew Butler and get his take on what does he think the Falcons should be doing when it comes to a defensive coordinator. I mean, do you trust the GM? Real quick, note, you mentioned that Robert Saleh interviewed with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it looks like. So, Mike, I think that takes him out of the running to be a DC. Drew Butler also, by the way, will get big news out of Georgia late last night. Trevor Etienne is saying, I'm going to the NFL.
And this gets me back to the Bobo argument. You didn't maximize this guy's skill set. We'll talk about it with Drew next on Sports Radio 92.9.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell, our first trip to Paulding County. It's Chris in for Carl today, man, as we're hanging out here at Buffalo's Cafe, right off of Bagwell Parkway. Come on down. Join the party, pal. Going to be here until 7 o'clock. Already met some really nice folks. Already had an appetizer. Going to get more on the way. Going to take advantage of this all-you-can-eat wings deal, which kicks in a little bit later. Looking forward to that. Right now, join us on the WadeFort.com hotline. We'll talk some Falcons and we'll talk dogs because, as Chris mentioned last break, some news considering the backfield in Athens. First things first, it's Drew Butler, man. Hey, man. By the way, Drew, you got any vibe, any feeling, any guide you'd like to see as our defensive coordinator for the Falcons?
You know, hey, first things first, me and my buddies from the football team used to wear out Buffalo's Bash Night when we were in college. There was a great location in Athens, so y'all enjoy tonight. A name that I would really like to see is Marvin Lewis. I think Marvin Lewis would be a great addition to this coaching staff. With all of his experience as a head coach, I think he was obviously did a great job, relatively speaking, as an assistant head coach out there in Las Vegas with the Raiders. But that's a guy with tons of experience, not only as an elite defensive coordinator, but as a head coach who could really help this coaching staff. I think he'd be a great fit here in Atlanta.
Drew, we got the news late last night. Trevor Etienne decides to declare for the NFL draft. Is the Georgia backfield, is that room right now strong enough to withstand that departure, or do they need to look to add?
You know, there were some conflicting reports on would Etienne return for his last season, and some of the guys that I trust had always said, hey, we haven't heard anything, so don't believe what you read. And, of course, yesterday he makes the announcement that he's going to go to the NFL draft, and good for him. And it seems like it's officially Nate Frazier time in Athens. Look, this is the new reality of college football. Kirby Smart and his coaching staff do an amazing job recruiting top talent. Obviously, the running back room was hit with a bunch of injuries this past season, and that really slowed down their production in addition to a couple of other things. But, you know, best of luck to Trevor Etienne. It was fun to have him around for this past season as a transfer, getting to be an SEC champion. But I am interested to see kind of who elevates their game to take the load off Nate Frazier, because as they've shown in years past, it's really running back by committee in Athens.
I know that you talk about Mike Bobo, it gets people fired up, and it's always like a lightning rod. And I know that if for some he's a sacred cow, for others he's a punching bag. But I just didn't think we utilized, especially now knowing he's gone, that we didn't maximize Trevor Etienne. Now, you know, doing the stupid stuff behind the wheel cost him the Clemson game, which they didn't really need him for. But it just seemed like, you know, then he had the rib injuries. I just thought this was going to be a guy that they could really lean into if teams were trying to take away some of the things I thought Bobo was going to do. I just thought we never really committed to the run game, I guess is my point this year, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't commit to the run game because they couldn't run the ball. I mean, I think they ranked 13th or 14th in the SEC. That's almost unheard of for how Georgia's built themselves into becoming a national powerhouse. They ranked around, I think, you know, 60th or 100th. I'm getting my stats wrong. In the country, Mike. I mean, that is crazy. They could not run the ball effectively and consistently this past season. That had to be maddening for a guy like Coach Bobo, because when you have a horse like Trevor Etienne in your backfield, you want to utilize him. Now, you got to give him credit in some of the games where Georgia was down, then they got a victory, and they were able to kind of really grind out wins. It featured more of Trevor Etienne, but I'm right there with you. I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to be showcased throughout the offense all season long. But quite frankly, there's a couple of guys on the offense that I thought we were going to get more from, most notably a guy like Dylan Bell. He's so versatile. Right. He really didn't have the breakout year that I thought he was going to have. Hopefully that changes in 2025 with Dylan Bell coming back.
It's a Drew Butler with us here. Just as a follow-up, I was mentioning this yesterday with Rob Tribble in yesterday. Stacey Searles, I mean, he's a veteran. I know there's a familiarity there with Kirby. He's a lifer in college football. But, I mean, it just seems like, Drew, to your point about the O-line, there was a fall-off from what you had with Sam Pittman. Matt Luke did a really good job before he left for personal reasons. And now, I mean, does Kirby need to reevaluate all the assistant coaches and get it right in the trenches, to your point?
You know, I think if Kirby is evaluating, which he always does, I mean, we all know that. He's not just going to turn a blind eye to any issues that he might be having on his team, on his coaching staff. If he is evaluating right now, he's doing it behind closed doors. He's kind of bringing that cloak and dagger approach and maybe sending some feelers out as to what he would do if he were to make a move. Who is out there that could fill that spot very quickly? And look, Coach Bobo, Coach Searles, that was the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach when I was in Athens. I mean, I think very, very highly of these guys. But everybody was watching the games this year saying, man, something is not right. And for all the talent that Georgia continues to get on the offensive side of the ball and in the trenches, you still have to develop them. They have to go out there and execute. It's not 100% on the coach's fault, but this is big boy football now, and a lot of people are getting paid a lot of money, and the fingers are going to be pointed at them when they don't reach their potential.
Drew, one thing that I think has gone under the radar is that Oscar Delp is coming back. So if it's Gunnar Stockton or whoever plays quarterback, that is going to be a huge security blanket for them with the tight end coming back.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I thought Oscar Delp really elevated his game later on in the season. You know, when Carson Beck's turnovers were becoming a problem, he really got away from the turnovers when Coach Bobo started really implementing the tight ends more so into the game plan. That's exactly what it is, Chris. It's a security blanket. Oscar Delp really improved all season long. I thought he was playing his best football late. Now he's going to have the opportunity to come back and truly be a leader on that offense. And I think that's a big step up for him. I think it's a challenge that he's willing to rise up to. And most importantly, the kid's got a hell of a lot of talent. He's going to be a big piece of Georgia's offense in 2025.
Drew Butler's with us here, guys. As you said, it's a new kind of world of college football. You know, Kirby's going to show, I presume, is going to show the ability to adapt, just like his mentor Nick Saban kind of had to. And we've seen Saban go through all the different changes. Usually Saban, you know, Drew, would complain about something, and then he'd do it. You know, so whether it was up-tempo offense or name, image, likeness, they'd find a way to do it. But at the end, Nick says, I'm out of here, like so many coaches are in college basketball. Can Georgia handle this new paradigm?
I think they certainly can, you know, and I can speak from my experience as a former student athlete at UGA. There's no place better. I mean, and I know that because I talk to people who have been at other schools, and I'm not just talking about the NIL atmosphere that Georgia has certainly invested heavily in. You know, I'm talking about the alumni base. I'm talking about student athlete support. I'm talking about the athletic department as a whole. They do everything in their power to make sure that their student athletes reach their highest potential. I would hope that even in this new day and age, that certainly carries some weight. I mean, I love UGA. There's no doubt about that. If people love the school that they're at and really embrace the environment, that's going to set them up for success, you know, 40 years from now, not just 14 months from now, then there's no better place to go to than Georgia. And look, when I was at Georgia, we weren't that good. They're winning 15 games a year now. It must be pretty sweet to be a dog in Athens right now.
Yeah, speaking of to uphold that reputation, Drew, the defense is going to have to be better at stopping mobile quarterbacks, dual threat quarterbacks. It's just the way of the college football game and, quite frankly, the NFL. Do you trust Schumann and the guys that are coming in next season to make those adjustments?
Yeah, I do, and I think they're continuing to recruit highly athletic guys that would be able to stop mobile quarterbacks. That's always been the kryptonite of these Kirby Smart coach teams because, quite frankly, you're going up against some of the most elite athletes in the entire country. I mean, Jalen Milroe, give credit to him, he decided to play his best football when he played against Georgia. You know, Georgia was able to kind of, well, they really did, shut down Jaden Daniels in the SEC championship game, but you're playing against top-tier athletes. I think Coach Glenn Schumann's the right guy for that defensive coordinator job. I always love having Coach Muschamp add in his expertise as well. But it goes back to recruiting and development. Georgia's proven over the years that they're the best at it, so I think it should be no different next season.
You know, you look at the SEC, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss beat you. You knew the schedule was always a beast. That's one thing you do have to take into consideration. The schedule was brutal. I'll always debate, and you just touched on it. Like, if you can't run the ball, you can't run the ball. I just thought the tone was set in the wrong direction in the Alabama game, where all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's get into a peeing contest,
yep,
you know, with Jalen Milroe and start throwing it all over the place when, again, I still think Alabama's defense, that's not like the Purple People Eaters, okay? That's like top, you know, it's not even top 100. So I just felt that you could probably establish the run game, take some pressure off, neither here nor there. Alabama, and that's the good news, is Alabama, not sure what the Kalen DeBoer Alabama Crimson Tide is going to look like moving forward. I'll take it down the road. Should you worry about Auburn? Is this year that Auburn finally gets their ish together with their new quarterback?
You know, I look at a school like South Carolina, Mike. I mean, Coach Beamer got it figured out late there. Their pass rush is elite. Lenore Sellers He's a mobile quarterback. They took care of Clemson at the end of the season. I mean, that's a team to where if they got into the college football playoff, you could easily make the argument that they're putting up a better fight against Penn State than SMU did. So there's so much good talent around the SEC. Coach Freeze obviously has proven at Auburn, you know, and in his past at Ole Miss, that he knows how to win in this conference. Josh Heupel at Tennessee, like, there is talent all over the place. I think, you know, the beauty of what Kirby Smart has built at Georgia is that he knows, hey, if I just focus on what I can control at UGA, get the best talent, surround them with the best coaches, continue to coach these guys up, things will fall into their place more often than not. So I would trust Kirby to continue doing that in Athens and not worry about so much of what else is going on around the conference.
All right, man. Great stuff, Drew. We'll talk to you, obviously, between now and spring football. We'll talk to you. You're in the building, man, with Stakey and company. So have a great American Bagel Day today, brother. Have fun.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'll do that. Thanks, boys. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. I learned that today with Sandra. Today is Bagel Day, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
And if ever there's a guy who's going to give you good details on a schmear, that's our man, Stakey. Well, here, Drew, on the Steakhouse.
We talked about bagels before the show got started.
Oh, some great bagel places here in Metro Atlanta. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. PadleyBuys.com. It is Dukes and Bell. We are live at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram, Georgia. Chris is in for Carl. We come back. We're going to do our daily download, which includes the Braves getting one of the top prospects in all of baseball. Grant McCullough is going to jump on. We'll get his take on that coming up. Friends, just talking some golf. Hadn't seen that dude in a minute. We're hanging out at Buffalo's Cafe here in Hiram. Chris is in for Carl today. Carl is under the weather. He doesn't sound as bad as like Babe Ruth's farewell speech.
Just remember, the babe loves you.
But Carl is out today, so Chris is in, and we got plenty to talk about. Hawks are dealing with injuries. Falcons DC search continues, and we'll all talk about it, including a visit with Grant McCauley as part of our daily download. Our daily download. You know, it's like Pavlov's dog. Grant, we have to follow orders and everything's got to lead into a segment or... Yeah, man, it is brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. If you're trying to keep that New Year's resolution, man, I would suggest peptides along with your diet and watch the pounds come off and stay off. Grant McCauley joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Grant, I saw the headline today, and you were talking about it on your social media. What did the Braves do? Who is this guy from Cuba, and how good is it?
Yeah, it sounds like one of the better international free agents that you can find, especially to headline a class in which I feel like the Braves are, I'm sure, I mean, this is bearing the lead, excited to be able to get back into this pool of players to get the kind of toolsy position players with this kind of upside the way that Diego Tornes has. I mean, he's a very well put together 16-year-old switch hitter with power, a good arm, good speed, plays great defense. They call him a five-tool player for a reason. You want as many of these guys as you can get. So $2.5 million for a 16-year-old with advanced skills. Who knows how quickly he can climb the ladder and maybe affect the big league club.
Yeah, Grant, that was a perfect lead into my first question here. Is there a projected timeline that anybody knows about, or is it sort of as fast as he can go, we'll get him potentially to the big leagues?
Yeah, it's just all about development. I mean, you see some of these kids that, you know, the Ronald Acuna Juniors of the world that seem like they're ready at 18, 19 years old, and you see others that it might take them a little while to kind of adapt to the game as they, you know, grow into their body for, one of the many things that they have to do in their development. But I don't think there's any rush just based on the kind of talent that the Braves have at the big league level. They're not really, you know, looking to push their prospects too hard, too fast. But you just like seeing these kind of players come into the system. The Braves are hoping to have themselves a nice international class. And I've talked about this in the past. I mentioned it to Mike in a couple of messages earlier today. The fact that they can draft their arms and sign their international hitters is really, I feel like, where the Braves want to be from a strategy perspective.
If you're just tuning in, Diego Tornes, Grant's talking about, as Grant just mentioned, five-tool player. Sounds very exciting. Center fielder, and that's awesome. And while we got you on the horn, I saw a video that Ronald Acuna just shot of him taking some BP. So, I mean, it's batting practice. Everybody looks good in BP, but the swing looks good. What should Braves fans expect? We had Alex Anthopoulos on earlier last week. It made it sound like we're going to have to wait a while to see Ronald.
Yeah, I think, like, wait a while, it's subjective. I mean, nobody wants to wait anymore. You want to get him back, and nobody wants to be back out there any sooner or any more so than Ronald Acuna Jr. does. But I think that learning from the experience of going through this before. They just want to make sure that there's not some kind of rush, that it's not, you know, ready, fire, aim, and bringing back one of the best and most important players that the Braves have and one of the best players in baseball, as we all know. I feel like, realistically speaking, sometime in May would be when I think that we'll really start to pick up steam, whether that means first week of May, middle of May. That's what Alex has been very careful about with not only Ronald but also Spencer Strider, not wanting to put an artificial timeline on it so that you set expectations and then you have to keep revisiting that timeline and people are like, okay, well, what's wrong with him? Well, there may be nothing wrong with him. They're just trying to give both of these guys the adequate amount of time to come back, be able to make an impact, and hopefully avoid setbacks, which is something that nobody wants to see, especially coming off that snake-bitten 2024 year.
Grant, as you just mentioned, the snake-bitten 2024 season. Coming off of that, a rebound should be expected with the talent on this roster, but the 800-pound elephant in the room remains, and that is the lack of significant moves made by Alex Anthopoulos this offseason. From what you can tell, what do you project the Braves' plan to be?
I think there was a wait-and-see approach to this offseason, maybe more so than years past, but I can understand certainly the frustration of seeing other players and other deals happening, especially in the division when your rivals are getting better. When is something going to happen? I feel that the needs that the Braves have, to me, begins with starting pitcher. They wanted to try to address that. I think with Jeff Hoffman, that deal simply didn't come together because of medical. So you pivot to a few other targets. I feel like there are still some good free agents out there. And we all know about a year ago, Chris Sale was the guy that nobody was really talking about in trade rumors, and he became an Atlanta Brave. So you never know what deals might be coming into, you know, focus now that some of the other pieces have moved across the board and other various teams have made their moves. But I do feel starting pitcher, reliever, and an outfielder are things the Braves want to get done, and they'd like to have all of that this time a month from now when they report to Northport. So it's happening. It could happen quick, and that's kind of how Alex Anthopoulos moves, is not really letting everybody else know what's going on or when it's happening. The club just likes to announce it. They like to break their own news, so I'm hoping they break some soon.
Right, we had that conversation with AA as Grant McCauley joins us here, guys, and we were talking about Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson, you know, kind of battling for that fifth spot. And look, I like both guys, and I'm not trying to be negative Nelly, but I mean, it's kind of time for Ian Anderson to grab the brass ring, right? Now, some of this is beyond his control with injuries. We thought we were going to see him last year, but he kind of stuck in Gwinnett, even with the injury.
Yeah, you would hope to see Ian get that opportunity to jump back in and hopefully impact the Major League rotation, but I can also understand that, you know, you want not only quantity, but quality. Ian Anderson's case is also a little bit different because he's out of options. So the Braves have got to figure out what is his role in spring training, or they may have to make a difficult decision as far as roster construction is concerned, because they can't just send him right back down to AAA to sit there for another year. So that's one of those, I think, considerations. The Grant Holmes discussion really started back in just before the winter meetings. I asked Alex about replacing the 340 innings between Max Fried and Charlie Morton. He obviously talked about the deals that they could make, but then brought up Grant Holmes as somebody who's earned an opportunity. And I think we all know, and Brian Snitker said this at the winter meetings as well, we're going to use more than five starters this year. It happens every year, so we want as many guys who can help us as possible. That being said, there's a big difference between Ian Anderson, especially coming off of injury, and Grant Holmes, and the kind of innings that you were getting from Max Fried and Charlie Morton, and I think the Braves still need to address that.
All right, Grant, so you bring back my personal favorite, Jared Kelenic, on a one-year deal.
A one-man crusade to get Kelenic off the Braves.
Yeah, for three mil. You bring Brian De La Cruz on a minor league deal. If you had to project today what the starting outfield would look like if they don't make any more significant moves, how is it looking?
I mean, I feel like they have to make another significant move because I can't imagine them going into the year with Michael Harris, Jared Kelenic, and Brian De La Cruz as their starting outfield. Not as plan A anyway. And I don't know if that means that you sign somebody, try to have them ready, you know, here in the next month, or you see what kind of players may get cut loose by other clubs. I know in 2019, the Braves didn't have Matt Joyce until the final week of spring training, and he was a huge part of that club that year. So you might still find that valuable role player. It may not be a big name, but I just don't see them rolling with the in-house options in waiting for Ronald Acuna Jr. to come back. They need to address it with at least some more quantity and quality in that depth.
Yeah, no, Grant, you said it, and we kind of got that vibe from Alex, not to put words in his mouth, but yeah, it could be, you know, one of those guys, pitchers and catchers have already reported, and there'll be somebody maybe even as late as March added to this roster.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with Adam Duvall a year ago, and that's just kind of the nature of it. I know Adam Duvall wasn't the guy in this latest, you know, stint with the Braves that he was that first time around, but really first and second time around, right. He still was the kind of player that was fitting into, I feel like, what they were looking for from a depth perspective. But, you know, to go back to Chris's favorite player, Jared Kelnick, there were some times during the year that he did show, I feel like, what the Braves saw in him. But I feel also that you need to give him as much of an opportunity as you can to show what he's capable of, because you moved heaven and earth in a lot of ways to get him, taking on some bad money. You got to give him every opportunity to sink or swim, and I feel like that's going to be a big part of his 2025. He's either going to play his way into the plan, or conversely, and to the point, he could play his way out of the plan, and they may figure out somebody else. But you've got to find out what you have there, I believe.
Grant, before we let you go, with the loss of Jimenez, how's the back end of the bullpen looking?
Yeah, that's not only Joe Jimenez that you're losing for perhaps all of 2025, but A.J. Minter, still a free agent. So you don't have that arm that was about as dependable or valuable as you could get over the past few seasons. You've got one of the best closers in the game. You've got other good arms, and I think that you're going to be looking at Pierce Johnson to be a big part of the setup. And I think Dylan Lee could be the one who moves into the A.J. Minter role if they don't bring over another big arm to do some damage in the late innings, or to, you know, keep damage from happening, I guess would probably be the better way to put it. But there has been a lot of talk about the Braves being a suitor for Tanner Scott. That would be a signing that would make a ton of sense. And I don't think it would necessarily break the bank in the kinds of huge record-setting contracts we've seen, but it would cost a pretty penny, and it might be worth every penny if you can have a lockdown bullpen. That's the kind of thing that helps you win, not only in the regular season, but as we've seen in 2021, that bullpen can be a driving force in October as well.
All right, Grant, thanks for participating in our daily download. The big story, Diego Tornes, a 16-year-old 5-tool player from Cuba who made his way out and is going to be a part of the Braves' future. Can't wait, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Story number two.
Unfortunately, the Hawks, it's good news, bad news. The good news is they got a big win last night, and it was an unbelievable career night for Onyeka Okongwu with over 20 points and over 20 boards. Trey was on fire hitting threes, but then we find out they got to go up to Chi-Town. And it's basically going to be the Skyhawks starting tonight.
Yeah, actually, it's funny enough. They just made some call-ups. Mohammed Gay, Keaton Wallace from the Skyhawks will be coming up tonight to take the place of the following, who are out: Kobe Bufkin, DeAndre Hunter, Jalen Johnson, Larry Nance Jr., Zachary Sache, Trey Young, and Cody Zeller, who has not been with the team.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, look, we had this conversation to start the show. We know that this team has shown you the ability to make a run, to win 4 out of 5, to win 4. And then it's everything we've dealt with since we've got into this play-in rut. Injuries, injuries, injuries. I know that Carl talked about it last year. Can Jalen Johnson ever make – can he ever support more than 60 games in a season? Because right now that's trending the other way. And he's not listed for like an extended period, but every day it's just another injury for another day he's out. DeAndre Hunter has crept now into the injury report after being clean all season long, and that's one of the things we've had, you know, a beef with. So, look, with all due respect to Garrison Matthews, if he can reproduce what he did last night shooting threes, he couldn't do that on the West Coast. V. Krejci can't do what Jalen Johnson does. These are hard times. They're one game over 500, and as I said to Chris, it's like one step forward, two steps back. Out of story number three, and who's going to be our D.C.?
Story number three.
I want Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh still wants to be a head coach.
Yeah, we found out today, Mike Bell, that he is going to the Big D to do an interview for the head coaching position. The Deion Sanders rumors continue to swirl. Will he interview for the job? Listen, I mean, Mike, as you just said, he knows what the spotlight's all about. He was in New York. He faced the media circus. He knows. I mean, he handled it pretty well as a Jets fan, I will say. Cowboys fans will go crazy, though, if he is their head coach, because he's one of those coaches that doesn't blink. He doesn't give you the emotion that you want as a fan. He's very matter-of-fact when it comes to answering questions. Good in order to maintain stability in the building, but when you're in Dallas and you're in that circus, Mike, they want something from you. And I think that was part of the problem with Mike McCarthy.
So far, it's been Wink Martindale and Lou Anarumo, who's been the D.C. for the Bengals. One of my neighbors, Hude, is a Delta employee who grew up in Southern Ohio, still follows, like so many folks, transplants in our town, still follows this Bengals team. And he says we could do a lot worse. He thinks that that's a nice fit for us. I mean, you and I were debating, you know, what is his defense? Is it the one that went to the, you know, the Super Bowl? Because, you know, you take away a guy like Jesse Bates, you get decimated with injuries. Is it fair to crap on the D.C.? Well, they're moving. The team says the injuries don't that's not enough to mitigate him sticking around. He's gone. So I don't know which one he is, but there's a Bengals fan in my neighborhood who thinks he's a pretty good guy, would be better than anything we've rolled out as DCs recently. You know, Ryan Nielsen, in hindsight, wasn't too bad.
No.
We said it. Dean Pease was making lemonade out of lemons.
Yep.
And until I see otherwise from our general manager, Terry Fontenot, who's not really good at picking defensive players who can stay healthy, you know, and unfortunately, I don't fault him for rolling the dice with Judon and Simmons in free agency, but we don't have a good defense, and you got to hope you can nail it in the draft because you don't have all the cap space.
Yeah, you need to take what you have, which is very, very strong at the top and then just mediocre to poor all the way through the middle and the bottom. And like you just said very well, Mike, you need to maximize the talent that you have. Jesse Bates had another good year. Grady was okay coming off of the injury. Is David Onyemata coming back? What's going to be the future for Troy Anderson? A lot of questions on the defense and a lot of guys that, quite frankly, Mike, need to just step up and play better.
More on the Falcons coming up. And if they have somebody else, you know, darken their doors a bit, Flowery Branch will let you know about it right here on your home of the Falcons. It's 92.9 The Game. We'll come back at a big 3 o'clock hour. Smoke Joe Patrick. He's going to talk some Falcons. We're also going to get him some information on Atlanta United because an oldie but a goodie just might be making his way back to the Five Stripes. We'll explain all that. NFL Blitz is next.